Theater of the Mind. The home stretch is finally upon us. Here in the central Midwest, the season is finally breaking and letting the cool fall weather creep its way in. I'll be happy when the leaves finally change. For right now, I'm just satisfied the damn St. Louis humidity is starting to break up. Not there yet, but starting to. Autumn. Best time to be alive. And for the haunter community, it's mad dash time. Trying to balance work and haunt building is challenging in general. But in October, when the time left is measured in hours, this is the time when some critical decisions need to be made. Better sooner than later. Identify which track you're on. Track A, ideal and better than planned. B, right on schedule. Or C, salvage what plans you can and make the best of what you know you can definitely finish. The longer you wait, the tougher it is to dispense with those scenes or props that just won't gel with the master plan. After all, we ultimately are doing this for our own satisfaction, whether it be for artistic expression, technical challenge, or pure attention seeking, usually some combination of all the above, and parting with a project at the 0 hour can seem like self-dentistry without anesthetic. Those who don't haunt will often wonder what we can possibly get out of it that would merit such expense and effort. Those who don't understand Halloween at all, however, may see it as just a self-indulgent waste of time that ultimately benefits no one. These people are, of course, dead wrong. But do we ever stop to really think about what all we really offer with the presentation of our dark little creations? We get so wrapped up in the creative side of this great exchange, the haunt itself, that we can lose sight of the other side, the audience. What is it that they're looking for? What do they really get from us? What is it that you, the haunter, bring? The answer would seem obvious. Scares. People go to haunts for the same reason they go to horror movies. They want to see something scary. Some do it as sort of a dare. They're certain that their nerves of steel are unshakable, and they want to see the artist try to frighten them. Sort of a, think you can get me to jump? Let's see what you got, kind of thing. These are the ones with something to prove, maybe to themselves or maybe to others. The latter group can often be the most fun because their defiance may be little more than false bravado, concealing a deep unease. Many of them will crack spectacularly with the right scare, much to the enjoyment of their companions. Others pretty much know they frighten easily and go knowing full well that they're going to be screaming themselves hoarse and jumping out of their skin at every gag that comes their way. But they love that. These are the adrenaline junkies. The Halloween equivalent of people who bungee jump or seek out the biggest, baddest roller coasters. The fright for them is a thrill, and their jumps and screams are a catharsis for all the pent-up stress that everyday life has layered upon them. But is there anything else besides scares? Well, actually, yes. For example, one of the things that I hear the most besides screams at the haunt where I play is laughter. Think about it. When you go into a haunt and get successfully scared, it's actually kind of funny afterward. After all, there is no actual threat, so every moment of contrived fear is, in itself, a kind of elaborate and twisted joke. Haunters and actors who focus on trying to keep people frightened and stressed, subjectively negative emotions, without some humor to relieve the tension, are missing half the fun. But those haunters are a rarity, at least among the home haunt crowd. Just about everybody I know who's into this tries for a good mix of both. And the laughs and screams don't necessarily have to come from the same person. You can scare the crap out of somebody in a group, and their friends will find that hilarious. If you can get some kind of reaction out of everybody, you've done a good job. It's all really about entertainment. Ultimately, people are going to haunts to be entertained. It's a break from the often arduous task of day-to-day living with its various stresses and worries, and the more out there and separate from daily reality it is, the more people revel in it. I sometimes hear people scoff at adults who like Halloween. They wear their contempt for Halloweenophiles like a badge of honor.
I don't dress up for Halloween because I am a grown-ass man.
Yeah, and you sound like you're probably a miserable son of a bitch, too. Who the hell are you to take a whiz on everybody else's candy? Let people have fun. Everyone should get at least one night to just play and leave the real world behind. That's why I get kind of irritated when people try to moralize or use political imagery in a haunt or display. All year long, we're inundated constantly with politics and with people trying to shove their values down everyone else's throats. Give it a rest already and just let people get away from all that. As a haunter, you're building a dark little world where people can escape the real one and forget themselves and their concerns, even if just for a few minutes. Good on you. You made a tiny little corner of the world a better place for a while. Most people really appreciate creativity, and when someone goes the extra mile to create a great display or even a walk-through world, they get a charge out of that. In our modern world, so much of what we experience is mass-produced for a consumer market, and very little personal expression comes through. Yes, the ways we dress and decorate our surroundings are a form of expression, but how much personality is really shown? I've always found it somewhat ironic that fashion is used as a tool of personal expression, when, pretty much by definition, fashion is basically what everyone else is wearing right now. Is something out of fashion? Then you'll be criticized or ridiculed by the fashionable for wearing it. So to stay on their good side, you'll wear what they're wearing. Doesn't say much about personal expression to me, unless you're expressing to the world that you're no different from anyone else. I'm certainly no fashion plate. When people have razzed me for wearing something they consider outdated, I simply say, fashion is just a crutch for people who lack style. And look around at the average neighborhood. There's a few different styles of houses and lawn layouts, but they're basically just templates. And God help you if you live in a neighborhood with an HOA where individuality is practically criminalized. But the haunt world, there's a break from the routine. The props and set pieces are, if not created, at least chosen and arranged by the individual haunter in step with the vision they themselves see in their own mind. No two will be exactly alike. And if you do make your own pieces, so much the better. People will see things that they won't see anywhere else. And they know that time and effort went into it, especially if they're locals who have watched the haunt get built up over several days or even weeks, and the average person will just think that's really cool of you to do that. And they'll appreciate your imagination. That's something common for displays and walk-through haunts alike. It doesn't have to be interactive or completely immersive for people to appreciate the creativity and style. If you have a fence separating your elaborate graveyard display from the sidewalk, people will stand outside the fence and look at the pieces, reading the stones and checking out the details. That's one advantage, by the way, of static displays above walk-through haunts. Careful attention to detail won't be lost because people won't have to move past them. They can hang out and take it all in. Design junkies can really shine in building a good static display. That's something I see every year at the Blackford Home Haunt where I play. The cemetery scene in front of the house is separated from the sidewalk by a graveyard fence and pillars, and people would cluster up there just to look at it. Or they'll stand in little groups in the driveway where the queue line forms without actually getting in line because they want a people watch, especially to catch the reactions of people leaving the haunt. Or to watch the roaming actors, like me, mess with the people in line. If they're locals, which most of them are, they'll hang out waiting for people they know to show up, and they'll stand around talking and laughing and just having a good time. The queue line in front of a pro haunt has a different sort of feel. People paid money to be there, they're waiting for what they paid for, and they may have come from all around the region, so they're basically strangers and there isn't much interaction between people that didn't travel there together. That's not necessarily the case all the time, it's just an observation I've made at pro haunts I've been to. The home haunt has a different dynamic. The casual, more local nature of it just lends itself to more socializing. Leslie Bannatyne, author of such books as Halloween Nation and Halloween, An American Holiday in American History, has stated that Halloween differs from other holidays because instead of centering around the family, it actually centers around the neighborhood. Kids who never meet the neighbors will meet them at their doorsteps when they're trick-or-treating. Parents accompanying their kids will meet each other at the sidewalk while they wait for the kiddies to come back from the porch, and they may continue along with each other down the block in groups. And of course, there's the aforementioned crowds clustering in front of the haunts. The haunt is sort of a neighborhood nexus point, a hub, if you will, like a little haunted town square during a mini-festival. Drunks and troublemakers aside, of course, they're going to be a problem at any gathering, unfortunately. But there's something to be said for any creative outlet that brings people together in the spirit of fun. And, of course, if someone really wants to bring a tangible contribution to the table, nothing beats a charity. A lot of home haunts integrate a mini food drive into their festivities, collecting canned goods and other such donations for local food pantries and shelters. Of course, to do this properly, one must advertise this in advance, mentioning it in local newspapers and posting advertising flyers in public places like grocery stores, as well as prominently posting a sign in the front yard sometime before the big dance. At the very least, notice should be up during the entire time the haunt is being constructed. Otherwise, no one will know to bring any donations until that night, and few, if any, people will actually leave to go get something and come back. I mean, I know I always carry around an extra can of pork and beans when I go walking around anywhere, but not everyone will be so prepared. Even if you only get a shopping bag or two worth of food donated, your local shelter or pantry will love you for it. And if you have any Jack Chick fundamentalist types in your area that would like to make trouble for you celebrating such an evil holiday, doing your part to charitably feed the hungry and otherwise help the disadvantaged will give you some strong moral leverage in the public eye and make them look callous and out of touch if they choose to harass you. Something to keep in mind. So as we go into crunch time getting that haunt ready for the big dance, take a breather from the building madness from time to time and spend a moment or two looking at the big picture. Not just the haunt itself, not just your vision, but the other side of the equation as well. What do you bring? What do you provide? Chances are, it's more than you think. From the Theater of the Mind, I'm Revenant, and you're listening to Hauntcast. Let the creatures growl and the spirits howl, and when the shadows call, answer them as kindred souls and echo their dark greetings to all who walk in the darkness of this night of nights. Keep that ghost light burning, and above all, happy Halloween.
I'm going now. Heaven help you.
Please like and follow the podcast. Stalk us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Links in the description. And help us by sharing Hauntcast with all your haunt and Halloween brethren. Until next time, stay scary.